Jackson County Board. Good morning and welcome, everyone. Today is Tuesday, July 18th, 2017. This is the Josephine County Board of Commissioners convening for a general discussion, I think. That's what we're calling it. It doesn't really matter. Do we have an agenda?
We do.
It says tourism, then.
Oh, I do.
No, it's okay. We'll get one.
Okay.
Mr. Petrarch's going to be. He was in the room first, and if my money was on somebody, if there was a wrestling match on, I apologize, Mr. Bowen, but,
you're
right. Yep. So, Mr. Petrarch, yeah, let's lead off with you. I was just mentioning that to Wendy, our staff assistant here, that I was like, hey, I really want to circle back with Matthew about the big pines. And I mentioned that to Peter DeFazio, Congressman DeFazio in Walden when I was back in D.C. a month ago. And Walden was really concerned, so was DeFazio. Walden's having some other issues on the east side of the state with the Forest Service being the dominant land use manager over there. And a fair number of parks are being put on like a reserve or what have you for either a year or indefinitely because of lack of either staff to maintain it. And I don't know if that's the issue here, or how do you thread this needle of managing these large trees that are fairly historic and on a map, so to speak, but still providing public access to an area people have enjoyed, I guess, for a generation. So can you lead us through that
Absolutely.
Real quick, if you don't mind?
Yep. And that actually has another topic that it will dovetail nicely with. But Big Pine Campground out in Briggs Valley between, if you're familiar with that area,
Yes.
Galise and
Taylor Creek, Briggs Valley.
Exactly. So Big Pine.
He's gotten stuck
Brown.
Everywhere.
Yep.
Never heard of it.
No.
Okay. Ahead,
yeah.
He named it. He was the one first.
Went out with a girl named Briggs. Just teasing.
So the campground, about 3 years ago, we do routine hazard tree assessments in all campgrounds, and it's to ensure a safe facility for the public. When we did it for Big Pines, a number of very large trees were identified, a lot of them, as being a hazard to the public. And in those situations, we have to close the campground until we mitigate and make it safe again for mm-hmm. the public. One of the concerns with Big Pine is Big Pine is one of the trees that was identified, died, and is a hazard. So, kind of in a bad spot. We can either take a lot of big trees out of that campground, or the other option is we can, cease.
I guess my deal is there a plan? What is it, and how do we weigh in on what it is?
Okay. Yep. So, our plan is to I'm going to have some. Forest pathologists and entomologists go out and do a more thorough current evaluation of the campground and know exactly what we're dealing with. I'm going to have, once we get that information, that we're planning on doing that this summer.
Great.
Now, the keynote tree up there, the ponderosa that is yep. the big pine, yeah. you say it's dead?
It's died.
How did it die? I thought those things lived on forever.
Yeah, I think it's probably been there a while. Drought. Insect disease. I don't know the exact cause of it, but it died in a few years ago.
You plant anything to replace it?
Not right now. We generally don't have a problem of regeneration in there.
Yeah, there's.
There's no need for it because there's already stuff growing on it. Mm-hmm.
Pines are propagating.
I'm just
really,
saying that we
really
have a big pine that is kind of what it's known for, and
there's actually a number of other
pretty good size.
Actually, I think there's actually one taller.
We have to move the sign over, and in 5 years, nobody will know.
Yeah, this is our new big
ponderosa was ever there.
Yeah. And State Senator Bearsteiger also expressed concerns over this tree. So, once we get that information, I'm going to have our timber and forestry folks go out there and evaluate that. Well, what would it cost to remove these trees?
Yeah,
could we sell them? Recoup some money, I don't know. So we'll have that information. And I'm also going to have our recreation folks go out there and look at the campground
mm-hmm.
and see, okay,
it's configured.
What do we need to do to make sure that the campground facilities are good enough to open up.
Okay.
So my plan is to get that information this summer, and then I'd be happy to report back to you once we figure out that information. and I can kind of show you, okay, here's kind of what we're thinking.
Excellent.
And
I'd love to go out there sometime.
It's currently closed for safety reasons to the public.
Just for the tree, or is it also...
The entire campground.
Yeah, but I had heard that it's also closed for some other repairs out there.
No.
Road work or...
No.
Okay.
Yep. It's strictly a safety reason. And there's many trees that are a hazard right now.
Okay.
I'd like to go out there sometime.
Absolutely.
If that's okay.
Yep.
Maybe we can work out as a, you know, part of a tour.
Yep.
We usually do something in the summertime. I'd love to get out and
absolutely.
We can see what's
that
going on.
Yep.
And include that one. We'll
sure.
go in that direction. So, okay. I didn't want that to dominate. That's certainly not why you're probably here. But
no, actually, like I said, it's going to dovetail nicely into something. One of the things that I had to manage, too, is that, you know, there's a number of campgrounds.
Mm-hmm.
And limited, you know,
resources
to manage all those. And so we do have a campground fairly close to that Sam Brown campground.
Yeah.
On a horse camp right next to it. So we are, I think, as far as public availability to camp in that area, we are providing some services very close to that.
I think that's really important for our discussion so that we put it in context. If I hear that a campground is shut down and I just hear about it, but I don't have your side mm-hmm. of it, well, we're looking into it. We're developing a plan, blah, blah, blah. I have a story to go with it.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, I just have a campground that's being shut down indefinitely. I don't know when or I don't know why, you know, the specifics of it. And that gets people pretty riled up. And
mm-hmm.
when they call me, I don't really have much of a response. So that's another extension of the benefit of having these opportunities to talk with you. The horse's mouth, no offense. But you don't have, you can relay that to the public. And we are sometimes can act as that buffer or an ambassador
absolutely.
About those elements that otherwise it fuels a fire for us.
Yep.
And we're like, well, wait a second, this isn't appropriate.
Yeah, many times they come and talk to you.
Yeah,
than,
exactly. Yeah. Come to you. So because they think we're in charge of everything. And really, we're not in charge of anything. We're just that much. So,
anyway. Long term, you are looking to potentially open it back up? Or is this a permanent closure?
This is, I'm waiting on this information and then evaluate where to go from there.
Okay.
So, like I said, once I get that information, I'll be happy to, and then I'm absolutely interested in...
Because it is a utilized campground. It's not like it's vacant all summer long.
Yeah, yeah.
Generally.
Yeah.
Is that something you can log, pick those trees out of there with a helicopter?
That's what I'm going to... One of the ones where I'm going to have the timber folks look at it, they're going to evaluate
okay,
that as
a...
Could we sell it?
No way to fall any one of those in there without absolutely damaging everything around.
So that's part of the evaluation. So we can, okay, here's how many trees, here's what it's going to cost, here's what it's going to look like afterwards, and then use that information to go whatever direction after that.
Okay.
So one of the things we've been working on is updating our fees that we charge for our recreation facilities. So soon we'll be putting out a proposal to increase some of these fees.
Here, I'll borrow hers to
okay. Just wanted to give you guys a early look at what we're proposing. So a couple things that are important to understand. We haven't increased any fees in over 10 years. Fees that we collect go directly back into our recreation system to improve services, to increase the amenities, deal with some deferred maintenance. Basically, all the things the public wants from us, we can better provide those. So this is the ones on the Wild Rivers District.
These are pretty consistent with ours. So ours is a 5-day pass. $5 a day pass. We have annual ones that I'm not sure that I see. Like, what if somebody wants to? They're a local. They go to all of these. Are they paying an individual site fee, or is there for us at any one of our camps for $30, $35 or whatever at the beginning of the season? They can go to all of our campgrounds in Josephine County. And it's just one price.
So the campgrounds and the non-day use areas aren't under a pass system. The only exception would be our senior pass gives you, I believe, half off
okay.
for the rate. And I believe on the day use ones, if you have our annual pass, that I'd have to double check that, but may be. It says recreation pass is honored, so
yeah. Okay.
That's my impression. Is on the day you, if you
that
have the pass, then you don't have to pay the daily fee. Anytime we propose changes, we run it. We look at it in a big picture. Okay, is this consistent with other forests, other areas, other? So we're not out of line. So we make sure that we're doing similar things to other places. Let's see here.
Didn't you used to rent out Onion Mountain Lookout?
We did, and I'd love to get that back on the system. We do have to make some improvements to get that to a spot where we can safely rent it out.
Can you get any Boy Scout Eagle candidates to help you on a project?
I would love to have. Yes, we could, absolutely. And I would love if you have some contacts. We have used Boy Scouts for other projects, like mm-hmm. some of our Trail Bridge project last
but
year.
But if the word gets out, that's something you guys are looking to do, we can
try definitely.
To get the word out for
yep.
recruitment.
Yep.
Okay.
While we're on the lookout side, yeah. I think you guys were utilizing one of your lookouts, could be Grayback, for co-locating for a ham radio repeater out there. And I wanted to say thank you for allowing us to do that. I'm pretty sure I got that right. It's too much information. And I remember that much. I'm impressed. But yeah, it's a long overdue for continuity of communication in the event of an emergency that we have that repeater, because otherwise we're just talking to ourselves mm-hmm. and nobody can hear us. That's a problem. So thank you.
So, you know, we use these fees, like I said, for on-the-ground work. And just kind of wanted you take a look at what we're proposing.
When are you going to start this? Is it
so
18?
It goes into Federal Register, I'm not sure, soon. And then it would also have to be approved
by the
RAC committee. So our first step is to get in the Federal Register. We posted all the campgrounds.
Okay.
So the public has some notification that we're making these proposals.
Your RAC doesn't, I don't feel as though this is outside of their scope as a committee. It would be certainly within the scope of a council, a resource advisory council.
So my understanding is they made some changes to the RAC.
And it's moving into that?
So they can authorize the fee changes.
Okay. I know that BLM's council can do that.
Yeah.
We're a committee. It
is a little bit different.
It is.
But I believe my understanding is that they made that change so that because
cool.
we don't have really another option.
That sure would be consistent or beneficial. So there's two different RACs. I don't know if you care. It's not important. Anyway, one has authority like that, a council. The committee just was to authorize Title II dollars. But councils do this kind of thing, and I think they're moving them all into that same genre to be able to do that stuff, which is great. So the public has an opportunity to weigh in on this, and this one's too much, and that was just right, or whatever. It sounds good.
So, again, you know, please take a break. Let me if you have concerns or comments or questions.
Is SEATSTAM you guys, or is that BLM?
It's SEATSTAM. Oh, I'm sorry. It's Forcers. Yes.
Okay, because I heard that was closed.
No, it's a little more complicated than that.
Okay.
It's still open to the public. The traditional access has been through private land.
Got it.
And which we never had an easement over, and the private landowner has elected to close off his portion.
Makes sense.
So you can still get to it. You just have to walk to it instead of mm-hmm. driving up to it. So.
Cool. Okay. Anything else?
Got a couple other things.
Okay, great.
Checo Bar Fire. So right now we have a fire out in the Calmeopsis. The red is the location of it. It's Curry County right now.
Or the X.
The red X
circle.
It's in Curry County right now. It's a few miles away from Josephine County. I just kind of wanted to give you an update on about 120 acres right now. I flew over it on Saturday. It's steep. You can see it's right in the center in the middle of Camla. It's steep, rugged, inaccessible, unsafe to put. Firefighters went out to it, rappelled out to it, unsafe for them to engage it.
Sure.
We do have some folks out there looking at it right now of where we can safely engage that fire.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of what our focus is
probably
right now.
Ways away.
Is this part of the old burn out there?
It is. It's part of. It's the southern end of the Silver Fire, it's middle of the Biscuit Fire. We do have some fires more recently.
It was huge.
Yes.
It was massive.
So it's in a green island left over from the Biscuit Fire. And right now, we're just trying to find a safe spot where we can do that. So
it'll probably burn off.
It's going to get bigger. It's going to, but we're just so you know, we're not letting it burn.
Labrador,
Collier Butte last year, Bucks Can, Oak Flat, kind of surrounding it. So we actually has, we are looking at those as
potential opportunities.
Well, they're you know as they're, areas they're where it would exactly.
They're, so you're probably just going to let it kind of.
We're going to find
smolder.
A safe spot. So we're not, I just want to make sure you understand we're not just letting it burn. We are looking at it, but like I said, it's going to be bigger before
right
we
spot.
Can find a safe spot to do it.
Okay.
So,
and they're not, the air tankers, that's not a...
it's really, since we can't get people in there, the most effective one you have, when you can get people to
get
follow
get the water
up
on
it,
to get the people on it.
Yeah, and it's just not, it's not a good spot out there, so... some, you know, just people are starting to see a little bit of the smoke now, and like I said, it's going to get bigger before, but and I'll just keep you updated on how things go. So, I'd be, and if you're interested, I can get you on the list of our updates. Our website has them too. So whatever
great.
Whatever you prefer.
Yeah.
Or give me a call, and I'll let you know the latest news.
Okay.
Too. Speaking of comm sites, Fiddler Mountain. So Fiddler Mountain comm site, if you're familiar, is if you go out $8 Road and you kind of climb up up on top there.
Mm-hmm.
We have radio equipment and state police, and you guys have a lease for a building out there. If I could get some help from you, it sounds like there's nothing in your building right now. We've made a couple attempts to engage your communication folks, and we haven't heard back anything.
Yeah,
so
I'm the liaison. I'd be happy to
if we could,
reach out.
Yeah, and we've sent a couple letters to Mr. Hips.
Chuck Hips hasn't been... Okay, so if it's radio...
And this...
Well, it's either
radio
IT
went to
or facilities.
Okay.
We don't... Communications used to be in facilities, but it's totally tied into IT as
okay.
well.
Is there a better contact?
I would probably suggest that... I'll find out who it's supposed
okay.
to be, and I'll let you
okay.
know.
And we're fine with it if you want to use it, but there's nothing in it. If you don't want to use it, we just assume
get rid of
get
it.
Get rid of it. So we're fine either way.
Okay.
We've made a couple of times over
know.
The years. And
yeah, which way it's
not,
going.
Not had any success. So
okay.
Just
we'll get you a contact.
So. You're liaison to both, so it works.
Yeah, I'll figure it out. If all else fails, at any time you're trying to reach out any department, parks, forestry, you can always contact the board office.
I appreciate that. And,
I
knew I was planning a meeting. So
and
I
then at the end of the day, we're to blame, not a program.
Yep.
So
appreciate that. I assume you've heard about the Bear Camp closure and detour,
mm-hmm.
Bear Camp Road.
You guys are doing a reconstruction.
We're doing some reconstruction. It's a major on the other side.
Yeah.
But
John Rasher's pretty excited about that.
Okay. So it's a really good thing.
It is.
It is going to be an inconvenience. We do have a detour. I heard it's about 20 minutes longer for the shuttle drivers.
And you're trying to get it done a...
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So just...
Not exactly the easiest spot to get to for a road.
No, and you know how it's closed and it's so closed and, you know, we have a short window of opportunity to do the work. Unfortunately, that coincides with the high rec season.
Yep.
So that's kind of what I...
Okay.
What I had.
Mine was the Onion Mountain and setting up a tour this summer. I would imagine that we're going to be handing the baton off on natural resource at some point. And so we're going to need to integrate one of the two, probably Commissioner Morgan, given the direction that Commissioner DeYoung has given. So at some point, we're going to need to work on, you know, that kind of a continuity of, yeah. So, but I'd love to go out and kick some tires this summer sometime.
Okay.
So
I wouldn't be opposed to when you have another day going out there as well.
We can't do it necessarily together.
Yeah,
so.
I'd be happy to...
Unless we put her in, like, the back of the pickup.
Jump seat's fine.
It's not exactly the same room. That's fine.
I'm all right.
I'd be happy to go out. Anytime I have an excuse to get in the field.
Yeah.
I like to take it to you. So
great.
I used to hunt out there extensively, so I don't know.
Okay.
He's gotten stuck in more places.
Is the Hunky Punk Valley Jotun Down store still there?
I don't know what you're talking about.
I'll show you where that is.
Maybe the tour will go the other direction when he's out there. I grew up here, too, but...
Hunky Punk Valley Jotun Down store.
That's awesome. Well, I wouldn't mind seeing that. Maybe you guys go first, and then you can show it to me. I hate to rush you along.
No,
Mr.
it's fine.
Chork. Yeah, it's... really a pleasure every time you come in here.
Well,
I really appreciate it, and I also did make that mentioned to our congressional delegation that I think we've had the best relationship with our local Forest Service agency that we've ever had in my tenure, so I really appreciate it. And, of course, I'd have to meet with Purdue to be your highest level, and that'll be a trip coming soon in D.C. But, yeah, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay, great. Appreciate your guys' patience. So, yeah, this is the... the wonderful world of being a commissioner. You've got somewhere to be.
I have to leave in about 5 minutes, but I've always thought I'd see Mr. Mullen.
Likewise.
I've already...
spent enough time?
Yeah. Julie and I...
Paul, you just get...
We're good.
I was going to say.
She'll be back at 2, and I'll be
back. She's a gift that keeps on giving. She'll be back.
Live broke,
baby. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah.
Segue off of just how you finished up that meeting about relationships. And that's really what this meeting is about. Is I just kind of wanted to formally come here before this body. And, you know, my job is tourism for the city of Grants Pass, but really that's tourism for the region.
Right.
And as the official DMO for the region, even though it's technically Grants Pass, I always consider it Josephine County. And so with that is just I want to...
DMO means?
Destination Marketing Organization. But they're actually changing that. It's... The M is now becoming management, and the idea is that it's no longer just marketing an area, but it's making sure that it's meeting the expectations of those people you're reaching. So, you know, much like I had talked about when you guys were on council, it's what is the experience that we're giving in the city and the region, and that crosses over into a lot of things, and that's why I work very closely with economic development of the city, economic development here at the county. Julie and I, we meet regularly with Susan C. Ryder, and because in that marketing or that destination management component, it's everything that we're offering. And so what is our messaging? What are we offering to the general public and to our community? And so sometimes my job crosses over into a couple of, different things like that. And I just want to be sure that you at the county know that I'm a resource, and I don't draw a border with just the city. And
so from my perspective, you look at economic development as a three-legged stool, and tourism is one of those legs on that stool. So like John said, we meet every 2 weeks between the city, the county, or Susan, myself, and John, and we discuss economic development and tourism, of course, and ways we can promote it. Because we don't have someone specifically promoting Josephine County, we're really fortunate that John does it at no charge to the county, just including us, because, of course, Grants Pass is going to get those lodging people that come in to see the rest of the county.
I think it's a thing that we don't charge the city for access to the county to go enjoy 80% of the public access to the Rogue River.
Yeah, so
there isn't a vineyard within the city limits of Grants Pass. I feel it works really well both ways. And
it does.
John's perspective is right on that it's all Josephine County.
Right. And then the other thing John helps us with is, for example, many of you know that last fall there was a planning session out in the Illinois Valley. And they had identified some needs out there. They wanted more promotion, et cetera. So Johnny and I have been working on that. One of the things they identified was they wanted better promotion of the farms and the agritourism that's out there. So internally, I've been working on rules to help further agritourism. But then with John, just recently completed a list of agritourism venues out there. And now John has agreed to work with us on how do you promote that. He also helps us with some economic development projects. For example, we're talking about the fire suppression system out at the Illinois Valley, and John has agreed to work with us on a marketing flyer on how you market those properties then. So
we really need to take a look at the prospectus that was put together for Manor Community Development and put that into something that is not so specific for Manor that I could go hand my brother-in-law, so to speak, and say, hey, here's 80 acres. You can do aviation-related stuff all day long. It's going to cost you this, blah, blah, blah. It's the same deal for everybody. And I think we have all of that because we put it together for Manor. That was an extensive process to get that to where we were ready to sign a lease agreement. We did sign a lease agreement. And so it was kind of like a really good excuse to get off the and do it. And we did it. It wasn't terribly successful, but at least we did the groundwork. So when the next time somebody comes in here, it won't take us 6 months, 3 months. It could take us 2 weeks because we already did it.
Do you know where that is?
Larry has it.
Who does?
Larry Graves has
Larry,
it.
Larry, okay.
I mean, it goes over the overlay, how there's an 11,000-foot ceiling for defense elements that, you know, provides a space for UAV over the Kalmyopsis when there isn't a fire. You know, it's huge. You don't have this opportunity just anywhere. Really, Josephine County, having the length of that runway that hardly anybody uses, I mean, there's just positive after positive, totally unencumbered industrial park. Where are you going to go to find one of those? I mean, it looks as a liability right now, but it's a complete asset to somebody who says, I want it all. I don't have to worry about somebody else who's going to have a conflicting element there. It's really positive, and I think that's what we need to put in a prospectus, because somebody's going to want it.
And all of those kind of efforts fall into, we're developing a new website for the city under Travel Grants Pass, but the second component to it, a new component, is Work Rogue. And it's kind of like an economic development side to everything. And the idea is it's listing key properties, key opportunities, all in one vehicle, if you will, easy to search these things. But it's with the consistent message that we're getting out. You know, we're getting a lot of traction now with our efforts, and it's bringing people to one central voice. And so I sort of see it as a time to kind of, you know, as we're working on a strategic economic plan together, but as these efforts of promoting and, you know, we're all one community, strength in all these different departments.
One of my concerns has been is that we work on promotion and then the carry through. I think Commissioner DeYoung has had this as an issue that we're prepared to act when they get here, as opposed to, oh, wait, what the heck do we do now that you're here? In Klamath County, I don't know if it exists now, but when I came on board 6 years ago, they had a regional reputation of meeting somebody on the tarmac with their planning director, you know, a realtor, a board member of the Board of Commissioners. I mean, there was this team of people that would sit down with somebody and be, what do you need?
Yep.
How can we help you? We are ready to do it. And, you know, that list of properties is great, but it's really an overview, anticipating what that business is going to say. I need to have an answer to this right now. So you've got Public Works in the room that says, you're going to need a travel impact statement study if we do that. Or no, we knew you were going to need one of those, so we already did one. We know exactly the capacity of the employees that you can be impact on that, and we already did it. Those
are
the
nice
things.
It would be nice to have a questionnaire that they could fill out prior to, so you could be prepared to answer those questions when they hit the ground.
Almost like a BR&E survey, but for a prospective business that says, what do you want to do here? And we are going to, you know, draw it out, and this fits right there.
Give them the impression that you don't want to waste their time. Their time is valuable. We want to do as much preliminary stuff as we possibly can before you hit the ground.
And sometimes telling them no is important as telling them yes.
And this is the sort of thing that the three of us, when we've been meeting, is discussing, is kind of coming up with a sort of a new strategy. And, you know, what I call it is a new model of economic development for a rural community.
Mm-hmm.
Is, you know, we're here to help you. We're here to provide what you need, but we're willing to as well. It's not just, you know, sign here, but actually ready to back it up. And so, you know, it's looking at all kind of departments, all different ways of doing things, and coming up with this strategy that can say, you know, send a clear message that, to do like you're saying, is we're ready.
One of the things that's an important consideration that I've heard as a criticism of the city is bringing in a Red Robin of the world or what have you, waiving their SDC fees when you had existing businesses who have been struggling for 5-10 years to pay that SDC fee to get on the ground. I'm gonna use Wild River as an example. That did not serve your existing base real well when there was four other little situations where their SDC fees were waived, and they paid through the nose to have an opportunity to there. And now not only do they not have to pay the SDC fees, they're selling burgers and blah, 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 in competition with somebody who just got done paying off. You know, that's got to be, there's a nexus for a policy person's brain in the room, and you maybe just bring it to the table as far as how it all fits into the big picture, because your existing people are
just to defend
pretty important
SDCs. We were an absolute stalemate here. You came in off of exit 55, you look to your left, there's a great big empty lot right at an off ramp, you go, gosh, look at that. Why isn't that developed? And that isn't developed. Then that isn't developed. Then that isn't developed. And every bit of it is because of the SDC fees. And I did a separate study at the same time. They said we were in the middle of the hunt, and we were clear off the map. Yeah. So that's when you have to stop that machine over there and get it back to reality, or you will have no red robin.
I'm not being critical.
They got in trouble over there.
What you did,
Wild River, they were at their highest. That's when Wild River decided to move, mm-hmm. and they didn't have a council behind them to try to get that in check.
See, my I don't disagree. I think it was probably the best move and the right move. It's pretty much how you're messaging it, yeah. And people, not even them, got the impression that this council or the city's picking winners and losers. Oh, it's a big company like Red Robin. We'll do everything we can for you. If you're a little bitty guy, and you know this, John,
yeah.
You're not going to get the same attention that the council, and that consistency is really key.
Yeah.
I think people are okay with anything as long as they see what's happening over there to Jimmy's is the same thing that's happening to Red Robin, that there's not, we'll take care of you. No, you're
Well, Mr. Bowen found that out when he tried to.
Yeah.
He tried to, and that was a whole different regime. That's not over there.
Well, and that's the thing about the consistency. It's just we got to level this off and make it.
Yeah, people who have tried to come here 10 years ago and build, and they couldn't find it in, you know, it's a different climate now. Anyway.
Well, and you know, bring it all back is that perspective, that personal, you know, I know exactly what it's like to be one of those people coming in to do something. And Julie's got a brilliant background, you know, in Kuskan.
I always mix them up.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so it works really well. And I'm excited about, you know, what we can do and the opportunity. And I just think it's a whole new day. And, you know, I think it's a good time for that.
Yeah.
Yeah, excuse myself. So good seeing you.
Thank you for your time.
Okay. Always.
Likewise.
John,
you know,
do you want to just talk a little bit about Coney Parks?
Yeah.
John, excuse me. We have an executive session at 2 o'clock, and you've requested a subject matter, and I think it's great that we talk about it. Would you like the specific person associated with that involved in that conversation, or do you want it just the board?
I think just the board.
Okay. That's totally fine. Sounds good.
Work.
Okay, great.
In County Parks, I've met with Sarah a few times, and we had produced this product. Is, you know, we have a kind of a series of different things. We have city parks, we have that, county parks, and from that, she sees the value in, you know, sort of cross promoting,
mm-hmm.
cross. I'm reluctant to say branding because the city has its branding, but the key is that a consistent message and consistent style. You know, the Rogue branding applies to the area as well. And so we're going to do a reprint of that and some changes that she'd like to see, as well as...
we're not really pushing yurts and that playground equipment doesn't exist
right,
anymore.
Exactly. So we'll be changing that. And she's talked about, you know, sort of an identity for the Parks Department,
definitely.
Which we're working on and bringing her some proposals on. And so, that's just one example of kind of the many opportunities that can happen where, you know, working together to kind of create a unified strategy and consistency again.
That's really great.
Yeah. I'd love to see the pictures updated, too.
Yeah.
They have a dull mat to them of sorts. It's not a vibrant, here's our beautiful parks kind of.
Yeah. And on our new website that we're building, we kind of have a whole new photo strategy, which then we would integrate into these brochures as well.
One of the things that I think, just I'm sure you know this, John, is that that covered bridge is the only covered bridge visible from I-5 between Mexico and Canada, and that's pretty unique because you can go up north into like Cottage Grove area,
mm-hmm.
and there's like three covered bridges over there, but we probably have just as many as all three of those being visited by people who say, what the heck, that's cool, and they jump right off. There's not a whole lot to see there other than that, but I think, you know, branding the region under that covered bridge, we picked it as our bringing unity back to the community background because it really kind of capsulizes, it's you know, Oregon State University's Memorial Union Building is the second most photographed building in the state, next to the Capitol, and that bridge is probably... not on the cover of the Community Wildfire Protection, but we use it a lot, you know, as this, like, the regional branding thing.
True.
I think the fact that, if I understand correctly, there's more covered bridges in Southwest Oregon than any other place in the United States, right?
I don't know that stat.
So I think it's really
good
to
highlight that. Yeah, definitely.
Just a little bit on that. I think we really need to do something at the south side of that bridge. I was out there, and there's a bunch of transients, and then people set up shop and sell stuff there. And
really?
Yeah,
okay.
It's a real deterrent.
Yeah.
I did not stop because
yeah.
I did not feel comfortable.
Yeah.
So it's something that I think we need to really
I've heard that from
to.
Others as well, concerned with.
Yeah.
An idea that, not to get sidetracked, because I think that's something we need to lean into, and maybe providing infrastructure or something like that, or a routine sheriff's visit. That flag at the south end of town is just amazing. Mm-hmm. And the one drop over the waterfall, so to speak, with starting with that, I'm not so sure that it wouldn't be really cool to brand Josephine County or Grants Pass as the flag city. You know, that we start...
Largest American flag in Oregon.
Well, we put up not just one, but we have them, you know, at the north end of town on I-5. Mm-hmm. There's one over in Medford, and there's one up in, I think it's Cottage Grove or whatever. But we've got a number of flags around town, but wouldn't it be neat if at almost all four corners you had a really large American flag? People love to see that on the horizon. I think it's great. I mean,
what
the
I
photos,
find amazing about it is if you drive down 6th Street, you see the flag.
Yeah.
If you come in on Williams Highway, you see the flag. If you come in on Redwood Highway, you see the flag.
Perfect.
It's so strategically placed.
Yeah. It would be really neat to have one up there somewhere. And I think, you know, the county used to own, if we don't, there's a couple of different county pieces of property in that region, and we'd be happy to have one on one of those. I remember we inherited like a 600-foot by 12 feet wide at one point. It goes down to nothing. You know, you don't need a big spot for it. You need the right spot for it, though. I don't want to say that you have to put it on any particular property. But
what's nice about that idea is that it seems like each one of the little sub-communities, Merlin, Cave Junction, you know, to find a project to tie them all together,
yeah.
If they all participated in the flag thing, it would be a nice way to bring everyone together.
That's a great idea,
thing,
too.
So.
We've had some people. Go ahead.
I was going to say, John and I have also talked about uniform signage in each of the little hamlets, picking up on the river rock idea, the timber idea, and then it was the wrought iron, I think, is on the design, right, John? So we are, and we haven't given up on that yet.
Good.
So that's still something that's in the...
One of the committee members brought that to my attention, and I think I steered him to you about the Merlin.
Brian,
he's interested in, you know, and from a consistency standpoint.
Yeah.
John actually
I think it would
came
really help.
Yeah, John actually came up with a design that we floated past them, but they wanted to introduce it to their little business group, and then the business group never met.
Right.
So it's not done.
No, it just takes somebody holding the baton and keeping it going, and then it really, like the We Honor Veterans element is being consistent. So the City of Grants Pass's signs seem, they're not located at city limits. They're inside, and it feels like there's so much else distracting by the time you see the signs at the on 199 heading north or east, and then you know the one.
And you're talking about the Welcome To one.
Yeah. It's like,
so those came about because of ODOT regulations.
I appreciate that, but ODOT, I don't care if I have to go to Matthew Garrett. They are not going to dictate where and how we advertise our community.
Good.
And I am perfectly happy going all the way to the governor.
Okay.
And so when I hate hearing that there's some sort of, this is all a game, and we're just playing with rules that are invented by somebody, and they don't apply if we don't want them to. They don't serve our purpose, and that's the challenge. And so I appreciate that you guys play by the rules. I don't always want to do that. I want to do what works for our community, and I want to sign, you know, right off of the chamber one is good, because where else are you going to go? And you see it right there. But this one is, you're already in town, and the distraction is...
Yeah, you're talking about the confluence.
Confluence.
There's an effort to put one over by Elmer's before, right, that grass patch right there. ODOT owns it, and they've come back you know, by playing by the rules, that there can't be a verbiage on it. It can only be a feature. And I would agree that would be a great spot.
Too bad.
Yeah.
Well,
okay, good.
That's probably good to know that, because if they're telling you no, Commissioner Hare could probably help
yep.
with that.
That would
I'm
be awesome.
Happy to.
Okay, good. And I agree, you know, further out on Redwood
and
Highway.
Both Elmer's and the motel offered to pay the
yeah.
water for
yep.
anything there.
Exactly.
So in the partnership of electricity or water, we were there.
It was
just stopped.
Yep.
That's not okay.
Okay.
That's not okay.
Great. And then, you know, the city wayfinding, we've kind of had the same obstacles with that, you know, where we can go. They have clear rules, which I respect and understand, about size of wording and
sure.
what can be on them, you know, and but...
The challenge is consistency. These rules are developed over time, and there's 100 other municipalities in the state of Oregon who are not playing, who by exception, because they were there first, they don't have to. The fact that we had that grandfathered billboard out on 199, and if you take out all of the posts at one point, you can't put that billboard back up. BS. That, you know, it's just like, what are you talking about? What else are you looking at on the top of Hayes Hill going to the Illinois Valley?
Right.
You're telling us that we can't put a... Those rules are not okay when it comes to municipalities. If you're talking about advertising a billboard for whatever, that's fine.
Right.
But
not to support
not,
the community.
No.
Yeah.
Well, they at least finally changed the exit sign to say Grants
right.
Path.
Well,
or Grants Path, South Grants Path.
The city
know.
Paid for that a grand amount, too. Yeah. So, but yeah, at least they're listening.
John, do you want to tell them a little bit about the billboard that you're working on? The one over by, is that Rogue River?
Yeah,
or?
So, I wish I brought the design in because it's kind of humorous. Did you see it?
I've seen it.
Oh, okay.
I've seen it.
The proposed design? Mm-hmm. Oh, you did? Okay.
Yeah, it's cool. It's very unique.
Where'd you see that?
I don't know.
Okay, interesting.
I don't know if I can tell you. I'm
okay.
just kidding. It's your design.
Well, yeah.
It's a really creative idea, and at first it's like, ooh, is that okay? And then it's like, well, why not? Whatever. It's just
yeah.
fine.
Well,
it doesn't say anything.
Yeah, and it was to play off the partially living Rogue a little
yeah.
bit, you know. But we took a poke at the sign that was there before. This is a sign as you approach Rogue River, the exit, and it's the castle shop. And they, not the most recent sign, but the sign before was a couple, and the feet were different directions. And so ours is, well, put that aside for a second. The main motivation of the billboard is to encourage people to stay in Grants Pass. You know, they're driving along. This is the decision, you know, do we stay here or do we go to Roseburg? Mm-hmm. And so we're... the caption was stay and play, and so we have two pictures, and one is a family of feet and, you know, with a little child in the middle at the end of a bed.
It's really cute.
Yeah, and then the other one is their feet on a dock by the side of the river.
Nice.
And it's just stay and play.
It's
real
really
simple
good.
And straightforward. And so,
do you ever talk to, like, the Hyperion Suites people and stuff? They came in for a land use issue two
yes.
years ago, whatever. But it's really important that we express to these people how proud we are of the investment that they've made in the community. And I think that's really something we all need to do a better job of being ambassadors to them when they make these investments of, like, that place is great. It just looks so nice and upkept. And that's one of the places I always recommend people stay because it's just they really care about it.
I as well. And he's a passionate owner. He takes pride in what he does.
Yeah.
And the property he wants to develop on the river, the same thing. And I understand the neighbors' concerns, but I think they have a good partner there, and I think it's a win-win over time.
So
everybody will understand.
Be.
So
can't really
agreed
on that.
Yeah,
but yeah.
And that's the thing. We've got some great property owners. Of the I'm blanking on Country House Inns. Same thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just try to do things first rate. Support the community. He's got a long-term vision for the community of what it can be. I saw what he did in Santa Barbara, and I think we're fortunate to have these kind of people doing great things for
definitely.
You know. And you know, our room rates and occupancies are showing, reflecting that they're really strong and keep growing each year, which is nice. So just keep building on that.
Anything else?
No, I think that's pretty good. I mean, I guess the main thing is just to know that John is representing the county. The county's working with John on stuff. We've got a partnership going. It's not something that we're not addressing.
Cool. You guys had the committee yesterday?
Yeah, the first of the...
You might let the city know. The mayor and the city manager asked us when it was going to get off the ground this morning, and we said they met yesterday. So, just thought I'd pass that on.
All right.
One of their city council members was there.
Yeah.
He's the liaison, but at the same time, I really wish Aaron Kubik could have been there.
Yeah.
You know, just by sheer virtue of being probably the people who were in the room three years ago, when somebody said it took 6 months to do this committee, I was like, no, it didn't.
Yeah.
It took 3 years. And so he and I had a real vision for that and what it can do and the plan and the shortcomings, but I don't want to be distracted by that. I just want to move forward and say it's really important that we have tangible things that you guys are working on, and I'd like to see that committee, if you do go out to a place, it be to a strategic place like the airport, you know, in Merlin Airport or the IV Airport or something like that. There are places that you can meet outside of hours, normal hours, that people meet all the time. And I think that would be the bang for the buck, that you're actually not just going out to the community, but you're seeing the asset there that really needs to be
part of economic development.
Right.
Yeah. And the other thing I would suggest is that there be periodic reports, you know, that are sent out to the newspaper, like in a press release,
mm-hmm.
of what kind of things are happening along the way a little bit. So it's not, you know, a year and a half later we come out with some findings and people are, where'd this come from? You know,
right.
They're kind of aware.
I'm just going through my list of, I have multiple lists, but I think, I'm just encouraged, John, that you're here. You've been doing this project for the city for a while, and I think this is my first formal interaction. We've been chatting for years about stuff.
Yeah.
There's so many different things to do, and I can see the committee getting distracted, so boiling it down to almost like what my vision was for a rural county caucus is that, no, we're doing five things, and it really needs to match with those five things. I think that was Cameron's thing or somebody's. Like, how does it could have been yours.
The goals.
Yeah, how does it factor into what you're trying to do so that you don't keep running around doing a whole lot of stuff but actually have nothing to show for it?
Right.
And that's Commissioner DeYoung's point, I think, and Morgan, that there's something tangible that we can say, well, in the last year, we accomplished these three things. The BRNE is the same thing, that you're not just interviewing people every couple of years. You're actually working on that in the interim, you know, the five things that are the most important. And you guys are going to do that. You've got a good group of people.
Yeah, I was encouraged yesterday.
Yeah. Well, thanks
a lot
for coming.
Thank you. I appreciate your time
Anytime.
Very much. And you have my card there if there's ever any issues or thoughts or suggestions.
Well, we have the downtown thing. I don't feel like the board is just outside the city limits, and that's often how we're construed. Aaron and I have been talking about it, and we didn't talk about it with the city council here today, but we should have. Reducing the speed and traffic impact on G Street between 6th and 4th Street. I'm going to keep saying it in every meeting because somebody's going to get hurt out there. The traffic is way too fast. There's too much of it. Somebody needs to be doing something about that. Because one kid gets hurt, yes, it will all change.
Which street did you say?
G between 6th and 4th.
Just today, I went down to get breakfast at Goodness Gracious, and I had to rethink getting out of my car. I got flown by a truck. Once upon a time, when you talked about doing a plaza, a permanent plaza on 5th, we had talked about doing something with brick right there at the entrance of the thing just to show difference. But, I mean, I was just parked a couple spaces up above that between 5th and 4th, and this truck nearly took out the side of my car. And I'm in a Prius. It's not that big a car.
And when there are two...
And he was flying down that road. So that might be something to talk to the city about. What about a raised
intersection
at 5th? I was thinking of for one way, that you've got one-way traffic going off of 6th Street, and that might even reduce some of the congestion. And that's really what we want them to do anyway. We want them to come off 6th Street. And we don't need to facilitate a way for them to get back on. I'm just kidding. You know what I mean?
But slowing it down was that my exact thought just this morning.
Yeah.
And same thing on H Street, that intersection right at H and 5th. The people just fly through there really bad.
So
totally agree with the berm thing if that was put in there. Or cobble the whole streets and it would just change the tone.
It would.
But they're too narrow. You know, particularly G is a narrow street for kind of traffic.
Well, this guy had to be going at least 30 down the road. But
really not our authority, but man, I'm going to keep saying it because I told you so.
It will help tourism and walking if it's more friendly for folks to do so.
Yep. Which is why the plaza really helps. So.
Well, the time would be really great with, you know, Trav Boersma doing stuff down there and making it all work together the way it, we think it should. So.
Yeah. I would love to see it like downtown Denver. Oh, it's all the cobble streets and everything. That'd be cool.
Yeah, because it just changes the tone and what you, you know, the way traffic is. So.
Okay.
Right.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for your time very much. Appreciate
good
it.
Good to see you.
Likewise. Thank you both.
Wendy, thank you for the coffee. I'm washing my cup.
Thank you.
Anything else, Mr. Morgan?
I received an email and a request from, I guess I would need Commissioner DeYoung here to have a say in it, but the prevention team has invited me to go with them to the National Cannabis something or rather. Let me see if I can find the email. This is not something I initiated. They asked me to join them, and out of the prevention funds would pay for it, so it would be no cost to our office. Who am I looking for? Let's see. And the National Cannabis Summit is what the event is. And it is August 28th through 30th in Denver.
I'm also concerned. That sounds fine. We just need to talk about it as a board. But staff getting authority to travel outside of the state, it's great if it's being paid for. It's in their wheelhouse as their job. But you and I can't leave the state without approval. I'm not so sure how I feel about managers just being able to go. There's no approval required for that that I'm aware of right now, and that's a policy change in an order I think we need to do.
That at least go. Well, and I know, I mean.
At least that the, no, the, no, that's not true. The liaison is supposed to sign off on it. That's the policy.
And they have contacted me on this
one. I have
one,
a manager that's going somewhere that didn't ask.
You know, I don't know that I, our department asked when I went to the National Drug Court Conference.
I'm not so sure that staff is required to ask, just the managers.
Okay.
I'm not sure I need to read the policy. And if that's the case, I think it should be everybody who travels out of state gets the sign-off from the liaison.
There are some trainings. I remember at one point the sheriff's office, it was cheaper for them to
go to Vegas or
go
something.
Go to Vegas for training.
Yeah.
That was top-end training than it was for them to
go up to Portland or something
like
that. Because the hotel stays or the flight was practically free.
Is it something that we need to look at our travel policy as a county?
Mm-hmm. I think it just, I just want to know.
Yeah.
I hate, I don't
well,
like,
as a liaison,
I don't like hearing
I've approved
that somebody
a couple of them. And for instance, Carlton last week went to Salt Lake to get training regarding the emotional intelligence screening that we're going to be doing for all the juvenile justice. You know, that was, sometimes the training is out of state, but I know that every year the Drug Court Conference is either in Washington, D.C. or San Diego, and every other year they go back and forth. Well, we have a whole contingent of staff between multiple departments that goes. So it's just kind of one of those things that I'm not opposed to having that conversation. I know I've had it as a liaison with some departments, but I don't think every department even thinks to ask.
No, I know. Yeah, well, let's talk about it, Ms. Gord. I think it's probably a really important thing to do.
Okay. I honestly, on this one, I'll bring it back. We don't have other under legal.
This is a different kind of, why not? What do you mean, under 2 o'clock?
Yeah. So sometimes when things come up.
No, I've asked for that to be on every single.
Oh, matters from commissioners, number 3. I'll bring it up at 2 o'clock.
Cool.
So, as far
boy,
as
boy, this is
going to
be a long, we're going to be here till Wednesday.
Sweet. I don't have rehearsal till 7 tonight, so that's okay.
Anything else?
I can't think of it at the moment. I think we're okay.
Oh, I wanted to see if you guys would be interested in extending an invitation to both Douglas County and Jackson County to do twice a year, like with the city council, that maybe we go up to Douglas County and we sit down with their board and talk about cannabis issues, land use issues, public health, you know, how did they do what they did in Douglas County, best practices. I suppose we shouldn't leave out Curry. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I think that would build regional relationships. So looking at the emergency service manager position from a regional standpoint, I think makes a lot of sense to me in a lot of regards. But I also don't want to give up, you know, authority over that position here. We have a whole stack of people who have emailed me, maybe the board, about that consolidation conversation that's, you know,
I've ongoing. Only received one email that was opposed to it.
Yeah, they were all opposed to it. Okay. But they none of them asked questions about how would it be structured or what are they, why are we looking at doing that? The kicker is that we can't afford the person that we want. And I would rather try to figure out a solution to where we get what we want. Person remains in that salary bracket, and we actually have the same practicing administration as we do right now. I mean, that's what's going to happen when Jenny leaves, and we're not freaking out about, mm-hmm. you know, what are we going to do? Sarah's there. She's fine.
I had a pretty extensive conversation with Chief Hoke yesterday, and the gist of it is we have had circumstances where there's emergencies in both counties.
Mm-hmm.
And when that happens, he's concerned that it will leave us short.
We'll have a staff person here.
Yeah.
It's not as though we're not having staff in that office. So and I fully expect them to
is
have.
This part of our executive session this
it
afternoon?
Is. It is. But that structured element isn't necessarily, you know, it's all rolled into the position, but it's not a confidential conversation. That's how I see. There's, you know, in the conversation with JJ and Arthur, there's resources there, and I don't expect not hiring the director, you know, working 100% is going to cost me as much. So cost us as much. So we're going to have resources to hire staff at a program that's never had staff. What a great thing to do. Have some depth, because other than that, what if we hire Sarah? She works for what she's paid. And they don't want to play with us anymore. Sarah goes on vacation. Who do we have? We don't have anybody. So I'm looking for some depth and continuity in the structure to where we don't lose anything. Frankly, it only works for me because Sarah would be the person. If Sarah decided that she wasn't interested in doing that, being in Josephine County, going into Indiana, I don't think it works without her. I know her heart is for the region we're going to be taken care of, and I don't know that. What worries me is who they hire to replace Sarah. May not want to play in the sandbox, because there's a lot of their staff over there that doesn't do that, and that isn't going to serve us or the region very well.
I think that we have some other options that would better serve us than partnering with Jackson County. I think the partnership with Jackson County was only there because it was Sarah over there.
I don't think that I would be suggesting this if it wasn't Sarah.
And I think that we have the ability, you brought it up with the city of Grants Pass today, the potential.
That's not providing depth, though. That's getting what we have right now.
I understand that, but I think that we have the ability to build in depth in our own county with making a plan and a conversation about it.
Okay. I'm not out of, you know, my experience hasn't seen that there's been anybody. People will fill in, but they're not a Jenny or Sarah if Rob or Joseph Rice, Robert Rice, they have other duties as their priority.
Who's Robert Rice?
He was our plant building inspector who, during the Douglas complex, kind of served in an interim EOC capacity. We had roving people, but that's not their core competency. They're not ICS trained or what have you. And the depth of the city, pretty shallow there.
Yeah.
So
well,
you start looking around.
We talk about it, and we look at what is our goal, mm-hmm. and what do we need, and how do we achieve that. Is the sheriff's office, a SAR mm-hmm. coordinator, the backup? Because has access to a network the same way? Or do we as the commissioners continue to train in our ICS? I mean, I have ICS through 300 and 700, 800. I'm not saying that's just me, because anyone could be elected.
I've been here through 8 different commissioners in 6 years. It is a bad idea to ever rely on a commissioner, and I have been the person relied on for property management. it's just not a structure that you can count on.
I agree, but I'm saying if there were something in a week, I think Josephine County would be fine.
I think you're absolutely right. And we'd all pitch in.
Absolutely. So finding that means in talking about continuity, this is why we have a COOP plan.
Well,
we talk about it for every single department of where do we build that in.
Right.
Before we look at Jackson County, who is typically not a good partner in other ways.
Sometimes true and sometimes not, you know. They've been a great partner in this arena. They have been a great partner
absolutely
in this arena. That's why I'm entertaining it.
But I would say that
this concern is not valid, because if it was that case,
I have no access to those.
This is Chief Hoax.
Okay.
And
I didn't get any
today,
emails.
If it's valid tomorrow in the proposal.
Yeah.
It's like all I'm trying to do is keep the players in a system almost exactly like it is today, tomorrow, and it doesn't cost us a dime. In fact, we even make an improvement in it.
The only thing I would say to the fire chiefs is that when we have a regional fire chiefs association already, and they're saying this would not serve Josephine County well.
They have never asked me a question about it. Their understanding of the concept is rumor and tangential, and it's that deep. And that's what they're making assumptions on, and from an emergency standpoint.
But why
standpoint,
do we make a decision before bringing them in, who are the experts that work in emergency services in
a
regional capacity?
Nobody's made a decision on this. The structure is the way it is right now. The way it is right now, we may not get the number one applicant, and that's not okay with me. And it's fiscally based. But I don't want to spend any more money on it than we have the maximum appropriated dollars. And we know what that number is from Arthur and JJ. And we can talk about that in executive session. My concern is that there are people who are in charge of emergency services, and their first response is to say no to something, and they didn't ask questions. That's my conversation with Lang Johnson, Chief Hoke, and anyone else who sent in an email based on this much information about a system and a proposal. And that's not good from an emergency standpoint. They come in and start saying things in an emergency situation without assessing the situation.
And
they
I
don't
think
know
that we've
numbers
not given them any other information but tangentially, because the board has not had a conversation about this.
That's exactly right. Why would we give them any information until the board has had a discussion on this?
Yes, but we also want the board to make have a discussion and make an educated response.
Yeah.
So it's a catch-22, which comes first.
No, their first response, all of them, to their face, is ask a question.
Okay.
Don't
Chief
make
Hoke asked me questions yesterday, and I didn't have any answers to give him because the board hadn't discussed it, so I referred him to you.
That's exactly right. Commissioner Harris pushing to consolidate Josephine and Jackson County Emergency Management. I'm not pushing for anything. I'm looking to solve a problem here, and I've got a proposal. It may or may not work. It probably won't, but I'm going to entertain it.
Yeah.
I'm going to look at it, and the answer's always yes for me. Until the answer is no, it just doesn't work. So that's my perspective on it, and I really wish, you know, these people would have that wrote in, because they heard from somebody
who's responded. And like I said, I didn't get any emails.
I've got Wolf Creek's fire chief and Dennis Hoke and Lang Johnson. So somebody picked up the phone. Not everybody heard about this. I would assume one of these people heard about it, picked up the phone, because their letters are almost exactly the same.
Okay.
And none of them start out with a question about this, you know. Why are you looking at this? Well, let me tell you why we're looking at this. Because there's a significant delta between what this person is currently making and what our best ability to match that is. And for the person, I don't want to see them, you know, have to take that reduction. And there's a whole host of elements of being part of this great system that may or may not continue. And I'd like to say that in my conversations with, this is not ideal, the proposal. I totally get that. But are there positives about it? I see some. I see that we are still going to be integrated in Jackson County and have control over that in a way otherwise we would not. And they're actually going through some stuff over there that we should probably talk about in executive session. So I think it's a good thing to talk about. And if it doesn't work out, I'm not married to the idea. It's just a suggestion. I wish we could have gotten it before the board sooner, But I think schedules have been really challenging to kind of coordinate.
And you're absolutely right. I hear you there. I'm coming from a system where I've worked with Jackson County Sheriff's Office, Community mm-hmm. Corrections, Emergency Services in both counties extensively in my career. And I want to make sure that Josephine County isn't getting the short end of the stick.
Me too.
And it's not worth, in my opinion, sacrificing quality if we don't get a high quality out of it. So
right.
I'm willing to have the conversation, but I also know what my experience has been working with their agencies in this field in the last 17 years.
And in the last 6 years, the structure's changed 3 times under 3 different sheriffs in Jackson County, just in 6 years.
Yeah.
And so, you know, and they're looking to change it again.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to pull emergency services out of the sheriff's office, or at least that's what I've heard, and move it back into the administration. There's positives and negatives of that, significant ones. And I don't want Josephine County to be crosshairs because we don't have all the resources in the world. We're a little bit dependent on what happens. We're a lot dependent on what happens in Jackson County. I got to run.
As do I.
Okay. We'll see you back here in a couple of hours.
All right.
With nothing further, the board's adjourned 12:10.